It's impossible to predict how a team's schedule is going to go in May. But when we look at the slate in store for the Bears this season, you can find a couple of stretches in there that look a little more favorable on paper and some great opportunities for Justin Fields and the rest of the young players on this team to develop.
You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook, join the Locked On Bears Facebook group, and make sure you hit that subscribe button on the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. On the show today, we take a closer look at this Bears 2022 schedule. We've known the teams all along, but now we have the order, the start times, the bye week, and there's a lot we can glean by looking at sort of when and where the opponents come up on the docket. Well, we're going to go through some of the notable games, the notable stretches, the big takeaways from looking at this Bears schedule. Plus, we'll kind of go game by game here with some gut reaction feelings about, okay, wins and losses and what type of range this team might be looking at on that Bears schedule. And we'll wrap up talking about sort of the releases of NFL schedules last week and some of the cool things that teams did and what the Bears did for their video release and kind of talk about the dynamics of how that whole release event has become now in the NFL league circles. But regardless, we know now the order for the Bears schedule this season. It's, you know, again, another 17 game slate. I believe it's what, a week 14 bye week when it's all said and done, a little bit later on in the docket there. But you know, when like one of the things that jumps out right away to me schedule-wise is, yes, 14 is a late bye week, but you have in weeks 6 and 7. Week 6, it's against the Washington Commanders on Thursday night football, and then the following game is at the New England Patriots on Monday night football. And so in between there, not only do you have the extra Friday, Saturday, and Sunday after the Thursday night game, but then you have an extra Sunday before the Monday night game, and no, it does not function the same as a bye week, but it's sort of almost like a mini bye week where you're going to have an extra 4 days in there that you wouldn't normally have in a week of preparation, which ends up being more like 4 days anyway in most typical weeks. So it's not exactly the same, but it's a little something extra that's, when it's all said and done, split up kind of nicely that way. You know, you'll play the 5 to 6 games leading up to that Thursday night game, then you have the sort of mini bye, and then you play about six or seven more games to get to your second or the real bye week, and then 4 more to close out the season. It doesn't cut it exactly into thirds, but it gives you some way of breaking up the first half of the season schedule before you get to week 14. You know, if you just had Sunday games or whatever all the way through to week 14, it would be a really long stretch when you consider, you know, the 3 preseason games before then. You know, it's essentially would be, what, I guess 16 games straight of playing. And yes, they don't actually have a full week off before week 14, but having that slight bye week, mini bye early on to sort of break up the schedule a little bit more could be helpful when it's all said and done. You know, right away you sort of look at when the breaks are and when there's going to be some of those types of stretches on this Bears schedule. Of course, you see Green Bay, Sunday Night Football in week 2, and then, you know, those 2 games I mentioned, are there other 2 primetime games, all in the first 7 weeks of the season there, fairly early on there. And really, I think Green Bay is that first major big challenge. Not to disregard anything about the 49ers in week 1, who are already favored ahead of the Bears, I should say. But obviously, Green Bay, we know that. But then, you know, there's a lighter stretch there versus the Texans and then at the New York Giants in week 4. Again, on paper, we don't know exactly just how good and bad those teams are going to be this upcoming season. But, you know, you can see a window there for the Bears to maybe have some opportunity to grow after what may be a difficult game against Green Bay and sort of get settled back in a little bit against the Texans and then maybe the Giants after that. And it gets a little bit more murky from there as far as how good some of the next teams on the schedule are going to be. And that's kind of one of the big takeaways, I think, for me at this stage of the schedule process, right? Sometimes this comes out and you can look at it on paper and go, oh man, this team plays the Super Bowl winner from last year and, you know, the two teams in conference championship games and like three division winners or whatever. And you can look on paper and say, gosh, there's eight games on that schedule that all look really, really hard. And man, those are going to be some tough stretches. But like when you look specifically at what the Bears have on here, yes, Green Bay twice are both games that right away you're not going to for sure say loss, but like at this point, those are two for sure going to be really, really tough games. And I think versus the Bills in week 16, for sure, really, really tough game. From there, I mean, New England could be really, really tough. I mean, we'll see how great they are. Dallas could be, I mean, Dak Prescott's very good, but Dallas has sometimes been up and down. And same with the Dolphins, right? Building around Tua, they could be very good with everything they've built, but if Tua's not, doesn't take a step forward, then I don't know, right? And same with Minnesota, like how good is Minnesota going to be? And 49ers even week one, like how good are they going to be? Like it's really the Packers and the Bills are the ones that jump out at you as like, yep, those are going to be hard. Not keeping my fingers crossed that the Bears are going to get to win any of those games. That's three of them out of the 18 weeks, or the 17 games. That leaves the other 14 games as like not all the same level of winnable by any means, right? There's a wide spectrum there, but like the Dolphins, the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Commanders, the Vikings, you know, all kind of in that range, and even maybe the Eagles and maybe the Lions. But anyway, in that range of like, I don't know how good they're going to be, right? A decent number of them will probably be better than what we see the Bears as right now on paper, but chances are not all of them will be. I mean, we just don't know exactly how good those teams are going to be. I'm not ready to like say the Bears are just going to plow through them all, but there are a lot of favorable games on that schedule. The Texans, probably the Giants, not likely to make a huge step forward given their quarterback situation still. The Lions still don't have a quarterback thing figured out. The Falcons are kind of a mess. The Jets still need to have a lot to prove to tell us that they're going to be great. So it's like, okay, there's also then more teams on that schedule that seem particularly beatable or bad than there are teams that seem unbeatable and really hard to beat. And so then obviously the meat of the outcome then is going to be those in-between teams. And that's, of course, the impossible to predict, the most difficult parts to predict of the schedule. But, you know, hey, even though our expectations are kind of low for the Bears this season, it's not as though you're looking at a murderer's row on paper on schedule just yet. We'll go through sort of week by week how we feel about each team and what kind of a record that could start to pill out over the course of a season. We'll kind of end in a range of like, okay, probably looking at this many to this many type of wins this season. Next on Locked On Bears. Today's episode of Locked On Bears is brought to you by our partners at BetOnline, the number one source for all of your sports betting needs and information. You can find all the latest odds, news, and developments, including, of course, basketball playoffs now advancing into the conference finals. Not great game sevens over the weekend, but some exciting basketball still to be had. Major League Baseball scores, fights, even next season's NFL futures. You can bet over-under on the Bears win total based on the schedule that we've got out now, plus playoff odds, futures odds on awards like MVP, player, the Offensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, and so much more. BetOnline.net is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information from live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action you need to know. BetOnline, where the game starts. When I start going through this Bears schedule, sort of week by week here, win-loss prediction style. First of all, it's the middle of May, so I'm not going to be, I'm going to disclaimer on the front here, right, that like we're looking at games on paper months before the season starts. So it's not, I don't want to call it some official prediction, but right, when you say like, okay, we still don't know what a lot of these teams are going to be. We still don't know what the Bears are going to be. But based on what we do know, we can kind of get a sense of maybe what type of range of outcomes we might be looking for. And when you start with the San Francisco 49ers in week one at home in Chicago, I think right now the Bears are 6-point underdogs or 6.5 or 7. The Lions moved a little bit with our friends at BetOnline. So very clearly not expected to win that game. It's cool that it's Lance versus Fields, the two of the quarterbacks from the same draft class, some parallels between them both starting on the bench. And of course, Fields getting a little bit more action and maybe not as well coached. And, you know, a lot of things have sort of diverged from there. But it'll also be Trey Lance's, like, first game really at the helm, it's presuming they still trade Jimmy Garoppolo and don't start Jimmy Garoppolo as expected. But the Field-Lance duel will be fun, but also we know every season, yet we somehow seem to forget every season, how crazy and unpredictable week one tends to be. There's always outliers where really good teams lose and really bad teams win, and there's not really a great explanation for it. So, like, I'm not going to predict a Bears victory right now, but I do think even if you feel like the 49ers are the significantly better team, which at this point they might be, there's so much that happens in week one where, like, you know, like the Chiefs have lost some bad week one games, and we've seen, like, you know, the Lions win some week one. I mean, it's just weird things happen in week one and even the first couple of weeks in the NFL, but especially that first game when there's not really tape on the other teams and all the teams are still getting to know each other. I mean, Lance will be getting to know his receivers, but Fields will still be getting to know his receivers, so there's not really a clear Bears advantage in that specific matchup. But I think there's some possibility for wild and uncertain things to happen in that game that don't make, yes, the 49ers are favorites and they should be, but we'll see. You know, I think right now on paper, I think the 49ers are the better team and the Bears are not done building their team and all that stuff. But, like, I'd give that 49ers a week one win. Week two at Green Bay in primetime. I think we all know how early season games at Green Bay in primetime tend to go for the Chicago Bears. And the answer is not well, or they certainly don't finish well, even if Mitch Trubisky has a really great start to those games. But regardless, you're never going to find me at this stage of the process predicting a win at Green Bay in primetime in week two. So that would be 0-2 to start. But then at home against the Texans, I'm chalking that one up as a win. On the road against the Giants, I certainly give the Giants an opportunity to prove themselves to be better than I think they are right now on paper. But when you're still kind of rolling with the Daniel Jones, Tyrod Taylor thing, and they haven't done a great job building up the team, much like teams say about how the Bears have done around Justin Fields, but still, I don't look at the Giants and see a particularly impressive team right now. So I'm kind of willing to go, maybe that's two straight wins after two straight losses heading into that week five stretch where we start to hit these teams that it's much more difficult to tell. And it gets into this question of, like, okay, what are the Bears going to do between now and week one? How much more different? Will they still bring in an offensive lineman? Will they still bring in any more defensive pieces? If they just signed a couple of wide receivers that we'll have to get into here a little later on this week. But, like, you know, at Minnesota week five, you know, it's the Vikings are just, they're better than the Bears, but how much better, right? It's still Kirk Cousins. It's still pretty much all the same pieces, just a new head coach running a new offense and a new defensive coordinator running a new defense. They added some great defensive pieces in that secondary and added an offensive lineman in there too. So, like, they should be just as good and maybe a little bit better, but they're not going to be, like, I don't think they're going to be great at this point. So no, I wouldn't predict a Bears victory at that spot right now. Right? I'm not saying, like, oh, the Bears will be going to beat the Vikings. No, but, like, you could see the Vikings being great and handling the Bears that game, and you could see that one being maybe closer than we might think on paper right now, because it's hard to trust the Vikings, right? It's been hard to trust the Vikings for a number of years now, and is the first year in a new head coach with the same quarterback and otherwise a lot of the same operation players-wise, personnel-wise, is that going to be a drastically improved Vikings team right away? I don't know. We'll see, but I'm still going to say Bears lost, but that's kind of the same thing with all these teams, right? You go week six versus the Commanders on Thursday Night Football. I don't trust Carson Wentz to be a great quarterback for them, but they do have a pretty good team otherwise, and they're fairly well coached by Ron Rivera. They have a lot of pieces to like there. So again, I'll predict a Bears loss there, but I could see Carson Wentz really crapping the bed for the Commanders, and all of a sudden that being a winnable game for the Bears in week six. On a short week, you know, that might be tough, but it doesn't make it any easier on the Commanders either. So, you know, maybe, but I'd kind of go loss there than at New England. I think New England looked like the clearly better team last season with you know, Mac Jones kind of running the show there. Not a great team, but better than where the Bears are right now. So I'd probably go a Patriots win, a Bears loss there on week seven. At Dallas, I'd say probably about a Bears loss there. Versus the Dolphins, you know, I don't know. Is they're putting all these weapons around Tua. They're trying to build the defense. They got the offensive coach around them. But if Tua's not going to take that next step, how good are the Dolphins going to be? I mean, this is a prove-it time for Tua. And we'll sort of see. Again, I think the Dolphins are better. And I'll give them a four straight, what would that be, five straight losses for the Bears in this stretch to be at what would be 2-7. But then I think you go, like, versus the Lions at home, week 10. That's a Bears win. at Atlanta should be a Bears win. Those teams are, I mean, maybe the Lions will be a little bit better, but certainly at least the home game versus the Lions, you have to take. And then the Falcons should be pretty terrible this season. Bears will beat that one. At the Jets, they had a great draft by all accounts, but I don't know, is Zach Wilson going to take that big step right away? Have they built enough around him to be great? At this point, again, when Week 12 comes around, we'll know a lot more about both of these teams. But right now, I'd go a Bears win there, too, for three straight Bears wins in that stretch before you're versus the Packers in Week 13. And where the Bears are right now and where the Packers are right now, I'm not going to predict any Bears wins over the Packers this season. So some quick math would have me there with five wins and eight losses through 13 games, right? 5-8 would be up to that point. Then you get the Week 14 bye week. And then you go versus the Eagles, kind of like the Dolphins for me, where it's like, okay, they're building around Jalen Hurts. Do we know if Jalen Hurts is great or not yet? No. We'll probably have a better sense by Week 15. And I think in that game, the Eagles will either be really bad or really good, and maybe not anywhere in between. So, you know, I don't know. Do you go... That one's tough for me, but if we're saying, okay, the Bears are probably going to lose the coin flip games because they're just, you know, they're playing the long-term game, then they're probably going to lose versus the Eagles and versus the Bills. Then at the Lions, I don't know, give the Bears the Lions one, and then versus the Vikings in Week 18 when the schedule always finishes, probably a loss there. So that would be a 6-11 season based on going through those games. But I think when you kind of go through it, I could see the Lions games going either way. So I think the floor, I would put it, is probably about a 5-win floor. And I could see them winning one of the games, at least versus the Vikings, Commanders, Patriots, Cowboys, and Dolphins, and throw the Eagles in there. So I think, you know, that 5-7 win range seems to be about where this Bears team looks like right now compared to the other teams and where they look right now on their schedules. Again, between now and Week 1, any of those quarterbacks could get hurt and be on injured reserve. Any of those teams could be surprise terrible teams. Some of those teams could surprise and be better than we think they are. So I think that 5-7, I mean, 8 would even be optimistic to get up to 8-9, but I don't think anything above that seems super realistic for the Bears right now. And that's kind of what we're expecting from this stretch of the first year here under this regime, is not pushing for Super Bowl just yet right away. It's a longer term process, and that's about where these games start to go. So that's the initial sort of projection for this schedule, which, you know, I thought, you know, there was so much fun going around with how all the teams were releasing their schedules this season. And I don't know, I'm once again a little bit underwhelmed by how the Bears go about these types of things compared to some of these other teams. We'll look at the schedule release as a whole event and kind of look at where the Bears fit into all of that next on Locked On Bears. The Locked On Bears podcast is powered by our friends at Built Bars, the makers of the world's best tasting protein bars. And they've got a new flavor out right now called Birthday Cake Built Puffs that are so good. And I'm always impressed when they come out with a new one and we get to try a batch of them. And man, these guys just don't miss, because Built Puffs, it's like taking your finger and dipping it into like frosting, like cake frosting, and then, you know, eating it, of course, but then like realizing it's 150 calories and 16 grams of protein, right? I mean, it's like, it's sweet, it's delicious. There are actual sprinkles on the Built Puff, and the inside is like essentially a marshmallow. It tastes like a birthday cake covered marshmallow of sorts. I mean, it's really, really good. But again, like all flavors of Built Bars and Built Puffs, they're low sugar, low calories, high fiber, and high protein. It's an elite combination. It's the ultimate dessert because it's good for you. It's a great snack. It leaves you feeling full too, and it satisfies my sweet tooth. I'm in love with them. I mean, I'm in love with almost everything Built Bar puts out, and these birthday cake Built Puffs are just as good as, I mean, they're definitely top tier Built Bar products. You got to try them for yourself. Head on over to built.com, enter in our promo code LOCKED15, and you're going to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. I've kind of had a long-running, not beef, but a long-running disappointment of generally like how the Bears operate from like a, I guess, a social media presence, but it's almost even more just like a general like team and brand image type of feeling. And I thought it was put into, you know, the spotlight a little bit with how the schedules were released this season. And I know, like, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't affect how the team performs. It's not really an on-the-field thing, but I'm always just left a little disappointed. Like, the Bears always seem so, like, almost scared to push the envelope in any way, to be any amount of, not even controversial, but just, like, clever or creative or innovative in many of the ways that they promote the team. Like, they'll do, like, the safe types of innovative or creative. Like, you know, when they had, like, for, was that 2018 or 19, where, like, they drew all the players as comic book characters or graphic novel characters, I guess, and they were, like, superheroes or whatever. I'm like, yeah, that was a step up. That was better than what we're usually getting, you know, from this organization. And this is never, it's pretty clear that this has been, like, across regimes, right? It's not a Ryan Pace thing. It wasn't a Jerry Angelo thing or a Phil Emery thing, and it's not a Ryan Poles thing. I'm guessing that makes it a Ted Phillips thing, but again, it's not something to get pitchforks and torches out. But, you know, when the teams all released their schedules last week, every team, I believe, made a video, a social media video to put out to, like, have a fun, creative way to reveal the games on your team's schedule. And they all sort of pick a theme, usually, and kind of follow that in a fun way. So, like, the Green Bay Packers did one that was, like, a arcade game of golf. And, like, all their play, they had, like, Aaron Rodgers was, like, the cartoon golfer, and then each hole in the mini golf course that the video game was playing was represented by each team. So when there was the time for the Bears game on the mini golf course, there was a bear in the, and then they putted through the legs of the bear to get it through in the hole, right? Or, like, there's a dolphin for the Dolphins game. You know, like, okay, sure. But then, like, the Carolina Panthers, no, the Los Angeles Chargers, Panthers did a really cool 1990s theme. It was like a first person video where, like, it was like a teenager from the 90s walking through his house, and it was a live video. Like, it was, you know, live action, but they, like, had an Atari and AOL dial-up, and, like, had to have his sister hang up with the phone, and went, and then a lava lamp in the room, and, like, a Nintendo was playing, you know, stars on the ceiling, and, like, each thing unveiled a game on their schedule. It was, like, super cool and nostalgic and, like, seemed really difficult to put together. The coolest one that everyone was praising was the Los Angeles Chargers, because they made an anime theme song intro for their whole schedule that showed, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert dueling in giant robots, and they made fun of all the teams on their schedule. There's a great dig at the Browns, there's a great dig at the Raiders, there's a great dig at the Seahawks. I mean, every team they made fun of in some way, and it was super cool and well done with the song and with the art and the drawing and that. And so it's like, okay, cool, all these teams are doing these cool social media promotions and just, like, cool videos that are getting a bunch of attention and millions of views. What did the Bears do? They had their players throw a football into a large blue bucket. And in every time they threw a ball into the bucket on screen, it would say week one versus 49ers. And then it's like, okay, here's David Montgomery with a football. Throw it into the bucket, David, and he throws it into the bucket. Week two at Green Bay Packers. And then it's like, oh, here's Cairo Santos. Kick the ball into the bucket, Cairo, and Cairo lines up for the field goal, or a little, like, practice tee kick, kicks it into a blue bucket. And, oh, that's week three against the Vikings or whatever. And I was just like, okay, I will give them credit, because they, by the time you get to the end of the video, there's some humor in that they use the same clip of the same ball going into the same bucket over and over again, no matter what angle or where the person was throwing or kicking from. And so, like, they had Patrick Scales, the long snapper, like, snap it off the ground, and then it cuts the video flying in from the sky, you know? So there's some funny, like, haha, they're cutting to the same clip every time. And then finally, you get to, like, week 16 or 17, and they put Justin Fields in front of a green screen, and they had him throw the ball from on top of the Sears Tower and into the bucket, right? Or on top of, or from Soldier Field, he throws it over the stadium, and it lands in the bucket. And then I think they put him on the moon and had him throw it to Earth, and it lands in the bucket. It's like, okay, there's something. We had to sit through 15 of them of just, like, here's Cole Kmet throwing a ball in a bucket. Great. Like, great job. He threw it in a bucket, right? If they'd done the whole thing with, like, Justin Fields in green screens, I would have maybe been okay with that. But it's like, the best they could come up with was just, like, players putting a ball in a bucket over and over again, compared to an anime for the Chargers, or a cool 90s nostalgic theme for the Panthers, or even the Packers animated 18 holes of mini golf with, or yeah, for all the weeks on the schedule with their players and their opponents in them. And like, that's just, I mean, it's just, it's cool and it's fun and it's effort. And it's like, this is just them around Halas Hall. They took one afternoon to film some players throwing a ball into a bucket. Like, great job. It's just like, they're so afraid to push the envelope, even just a little bit, right? Like the Chargers took some risks with, you know, they make a Browns lawyers joke, and they make, you know, a Legion, rest in peace, Legion of Boom joke for the Seahawks. And you know, they have John Gruden as Chucky in the dumpster for the Raiders game. And like, there's some, not like actual risks, but they're on the edge there, right? They're pushing the line, they're pushing the envelope a little bit there. And Bears threw balls in buckets. Like, yes, like I said at the beginning, does it matter? No. Is it a big deal? No. Does it affect how they're going to play this season? No. But like, other teams do cool stuff, and I wish the Bears did more cool stuff. Like, even not just with the schedule release, but like, you know, the Eagles always do film breakdowns with their coaches. The Patriots have even had Bill Belichick for like online video content come in and break down a play and like draw it up and explain the whole play. Like, Bill Belichick, the master of like secrets and like doesn't tell the media anything. Yeah, come on and do a video, break down some plays. And the Bears, as a media side, social media, digital media, writing, all that, like, they just don't do cool, fun, innovative, clever, creative, funny things. It's just sort of, it's always safe and boring and plain. And I wish the team would have more fun when you're in one of the largest media markets with one of the largest ravenous fan bases that love this team and cheer for this team week in and week out and buy a bunch in one of the top selling jerseys in the country for as far as team sales, right? I mean, it's not a financial restraint. That's for sure. It's not a fan support restraint. I mean, hell, the Chargers in LA. No, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, as far as a fan base goes, they're the opposite side of the spectrum from where the Bears are. So like, why isn't the team's media presence matching what the fan base is? That's the main thing. We, on the outside, we deserve a little bit better. That's not a shot at anybody who works for the Bears social media or anything. They all do fine work individually. It's just like, collectively, organizationally, it's not a priority. And I wish it was. That's sort of my Bears media rant for this summer. I mean, let's do better. It's 2022. Let's not just throw footballs into buckets. But hey, lots more to break down all throughout this offseason. We got to get to the new Bears receivers, Tajay Sharp, Dante Pettis, and the new quarterback, Nathan Peterman, at some point this week. We'll kind of look more at this rookie class and connect with some of our other hosts here on the Lockdown Podcast Network. Missed a couple of days last week dealing with a family emergency type situation for a couple of days. Things are mostly stable now, so we're back in the swing of things. Not didn't mean to go AWOL on you for those last couple of days, but it was a busy time and a difficult time for my life. So anyway, back, glad to be talking Bears. Appreciate you tuning in. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today. Hope you'll hit that subscribe button to keep up with all of our daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Hope you'll come back all throughout the offseason. It's a long offseason. We'll be here for you to help get you through it and help make it that much easier for you to bear down.